Morning, brothers and sisters. Would you come back with me, please, to Exodus chapter 7? Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. That is what verse 7 of Exodus chapter 7 tells us. And what we have here is a time check. And it is a time check preceded by a statement concerning Moses and Aaron. And the statement is there in verse 6. So Moses and Aaron did it as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. Time checks or ages of people, they often occur in scripture when very significant events are to happen. I'll give you just three examples. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. So I think this statement that we've read in Exodus 7, coupled with that time marker of age, I think it strongly implies, doesn't it, that up to this point, all had not been well with Moses and Aaron in doing as the Lord had commanded them. So, what I want to do this morning is look at both aspects of this record, these verses. First, and mostly, Moses' experiences up to the age of 80, very briefly. And secondly, whether we can deduce up to this point whether he had done as the Lord had commanded him. We know that Moses lived to the great age of 120. So here he is, as chapter 7 opens, he's two-thirds of his way through his life. But that's something only we as readers know, isn't it? For Moses, the bringing up of Israel, of God's people, the saving of Israel mentioned on, measured on his personal timeline, was long overdue. Surely he had not anticipated that the children of Israel would still be a nation of slaves when he was aged 80. Yet here he is in his 80th year, preparing to see Pharaoh. And we know later on he was inspired to write in Psalm 90, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years." And yet, here is Moses in good health and strength. And we know that until his dying day, as recorded in Deuteronomy 34, his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. But as far as Moses was concerned, Israel's deliverance should have happened when he was 40, not 80. At that point, when he was nearing 40, it is Stephen who tells us in Acts chapter 7 that the people, they just didn't understand that God was going to give them deliverance through Moses. But that deliverance was to come. But at the age of 40, Moses was working to his own timescale rather than God's time scale. And his attempt to commence the deliverance of Israel 40 years too early failed. And God's time scale prevailed, as it always will. And we know that another 80 years elapsed from Moses' first attempt to deliver Israel until Israel finally entered the land of promise. And we might ask the reasons for that. And one reason is God's forbearance. Do you remember in Genesis 15, all those years before, God had told Abraham that his descendants would enter the land in the fourth generation, and because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And so when Moses, at the age of 40, wished to deliver Israel, the iniquity of the Amorites was still not complete, and God in his mercy allowed them further time. And a second reason is the formation of Moses' own character. His change from an Egyptian prince to a shepherd of God's people. So that leads us to consider, brothers and sisters, ourselves. What about our timescale in waiting for deliverance? Those of us who are older did not, I'm sure, expect to be still waiting for the salvation of Israel, as we read yesterday from the Romans, didn't expect to be still waiting for the full number of the Gentiles to come in at the age we are now. Personally, I can remember talking to someone at work in the early 1980s and saying that it would all finish in 10 years at the most. 10 years seemed a long time to me then. Now it seems just a couple of hours. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. We need to take the hint, I think, for ourselves. To quote Moses again, on our father's timescale, 1,000 years in his sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Just thinking about timescales, last Friday, the 31st of January, we saw a major political event's fifth anniversary. You may or may not view Britain leaving Europe in January 2020 as an event of prophetic significance. In some areas of Christadelphia, it was talked about dramatically. Not so much these days, I notice. Significant world events in the Middle East and elsewhere have taken place during the past 12 months, even this very year. But events with prophetic import or not, they come and go, don't they? And we observe events, but they shouldn't be our main focus. Our main focus should be on Israel's redemption and how that has been accomplished through the death and resurrection of our Lord, which we remember again this morning. We can't run our spiritual lives on watching changing news headlines, however interesting they might appear. Rather, we need to watch ourselves as we endeavour to conform to the image of his son. And we know the last plague in Egypt was the killing of the firstborn, where Israel were redeemed through the blood of the lamb. And the shed blood will for us. No, it has for us secured our salvation in Christ. Remember how Paul wrote to the Colossians, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness." There's an echo of Egyptian slavery. "And has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." This has already been achieved. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Let's get back to Moses. So here we've got in chapter 7 of Exodus, he's described as 80 years of age. He's now a redundant shepherd, but about to be reemployed in the greatest shepherding experience of his life. But I just want to quickly recall what we have read about Moses in our Exodus readings up to this point, and see how quickly time passes. Just go back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2. After Moses is rescued from the Nile, we read in verse 10 of chapter 2 that the child grew. I suggest that a period of probably 3 years has gone by in three words. Having been handed over to Pharaoh's daughter, verse 11 of chapter 2 tells us, "Now it came to pass in those days." And those few words cover another 37 or so years, because we know from Acts chapter 7 that Moses was approaching 40. In those days. Exodus 2 verse 11 continues by stating that when Moses had grown up, he went out to his brethren. Just keep your hand in Exodus chapter 2 and come over, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, words you know well. But there's a very clear echo from Hebrews chapter 11 to Exodus chapter 2 and the words we have just read. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, we read, "By faith," and I'm quoting from the NASB version this morning, "by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." And we read in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11, "When he had grown up, he went out to see his brethren." So I think putting those two references together, we can be reasonably sure that when Moses went out to his brethren, as recorded in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, it was at that point he left the palace for good. It was at that point he renounced being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was at that point he refused the treasures of Egypt and took on the reproach of Christ. When he was grown up, when he went to visit his people, this was another pivotal moment in Moses' life. Moses, nearing the age of 40, was in his prime. He was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. He was a man of power in words and deeds. But his purpose now was to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And as we've already mentioned, Acts chapter 7 describes the same occasion. Moses supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. So when we combine these three strands of information from Exodus chapter 2, from Acts chapter 7, and from Hebrews chapter 11, we get a picture of Moses leaving the palace in faith, but prematurely expecting that Israel would understand his God-given mission of deliverance. They understood not. It's blunt, isn't it? We read also in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, if you just go back there, it says, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on the hard labor of his brethren. Some 40 years later, if you look at the last verse of Exodus chapter 2, we read in verse 24, God heard their groaning, that is of the nation or the people of Israel. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw, and it's the same words, God looked on the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. So we've got here a contrast between the two lookings. Moses went out 40 years previously. He looked and he pursued his own actions in his own timescale to deliver God's people, and they failed. 40 years later, we read, God looked. Now the right time was approaching, and God set things in motion, which resulted in the deliverance from Egypt. And in between chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 11, and chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 25, Moses experienced his own personal 40-year exile in the land of Midian. 40 years. It's a long stretch, isn't it? Some of you don't know that yet, but many do. But it's a long stretch, 40 years. It's also the active piece of life. So just think of those slaves in Egypt between those two lookings. The looking of Moses when he tried to deliver them, and the looking of God when he came to deliver them. 40 years between those two lookings. A whole generation of captives would have endured the suffering and deprivation of slavery, the hard labor and the cruelty. But those 40 years changed Moses. Those 40 years refined his outlook. Those 40 years tempered his character. And as we've said, that in part was the reason for the passing of those 40 years. In terms of Moses, gone was the Egyptian prince who had been viewed by the seven daughters of the priests of Midian, and in his place was a shepherd. Gone was the man of power, the one mighty in words and deeds of the Egyptian court. Here is a changed Moses, one content to dwell with Jethro and look after the sheep. We just get a window, as it were, into Moses' soul by his conversation at the burning bush. Here's just a flavour, the words of Moses. Who am I? I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in times past. Please send someone else. Who am I that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? What if they won't believe me or listen to what I say? Whatever period of time, brothers and sisters, you may have spent on your spiritual journey, whatever experiences you may have had, under the influence of God and his word, as we read it daily, change will have happened. Change must happen. Change happens to everyone, but our changes, we know, are under the overriding care of our Father, no matter how challenging our circumstances can be. So Moses returns to the land of Egypt, where probably the brother of his Egyptian mother, in quotes, was now on the throne. And Israel had rejected Moses in his prime, in his power, but now, despite Moses' fears, they accepted him initially when he performed those God-given signs and Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses. Just go over to chapter 4 and look at the words of verse 31. Here is Moses having performed the signs, and it says, "So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshipped." But things changed. And the opening of chapter 5 records Moses and Aaron's first visit to Pharaoh. I suspect that Moses and Aaron were buoyed up by the attitude of Israel, by their believing, by their humbleness. And despite God's warning that when they came to Pharaoh, it would be a long, arduous, and painful deliverance from Egypt, on this first visit to Pharaoh, they got it all wrong. They went in to see Pharaoh, as recorded in chapter 5, and they got it wrong. They went in unprepared. They did not follow the commands that God had given them when they went to Pharaoh. First of all, they failed to enact the signs that God had given Moses to perform before Pharaoh on this first visit. They called, if you look at chapter 5 and verse 1, they say, "Let my people go that they may visit me." And they called the Lord God, the God of Israel, in that first verse, rather than, as God had instructed them to say, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, which is how the Egyptians would have known them as a people. Further, Moses and Aaron did not take the elders of Israel with them, as they had been instructed to do. So their audience, in a way, with Pharaoh was less powerful. They also told Pharaoh, quite wrongly, that if he did not let them go, they say, the Lord our God would fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Again, that was not said by God to Moses. So the upshot of this first visit to Pharaoh, the upshot of it was they were rejected completely, but worse, the affliction for Israel grew with the withdrawal of straw for the bricks. And we read Israel's now stinging words. This was the nation that had believed and humbled themselves. And they now say to Moses and Aaron, "You have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." So Moses returns to the Lord. He's distressed that he's caused further harm and anguish to the people. But Moses actually blames God. And he says, "You, God, have brought harm to the people." We read that in verse 22 of chapter 5. He says, "Why did you ever send me? And you have not delivered your people at all." But in return, He receives encouragement for the Lord, as we see from the opening verses of chapter 6. So what can we learn from all this, brothers and sisters? I think we must learn that God's words and God's command cannot be mishandled or ignored without repercussions. So by the time we get to today's chapter, chapter 7, we see a new start. First of all, we see in verse 1, the Lord says to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh." Previously, the Lord had said he would make Moses a God to Israel, but now he's also to be a God to Pharaoh. And we see that Moses and Aaron now do, verse 6, as the Lord commanded them, where previously they had failed to do what the Lord had commanded them. So chapter 7 and verse 6 and 7, with which we began, is a turning point, which is why we've got the ages of Moses and Aaron placed here at this crucial point. Israel had rejected Moses when he was 40. They initially rejected him when he was 80. And from chapter 5, we saw that Moses really sort of breezed in to see Pharaoh with restored confidence, only to suffer a rebuff because he did not follow the Lord's commands. And it'll be interesting as we continue our readings over the next few days from chapter 7 through to chapter 13. Notice how Moses only acts at God's bidding and says what he has been instructed to speak. And the record emphasizes this. It's not Moses' word at all, is it? It is God's word through Moses and Aaron pitted against the word of Pharaoh. And as we have said, it is God's word that prevails. God's word will always prevail. And the Egyptian prowess and might are dismantled as a result. So as we close, brothers and sisters, we wait for deliverance whenever it comes, whether it's years away or sooner. But we can take the encouragement from this record for ourselves. Time moves on, but God's purpose also moves on imperceptibly. But what we need to do is to pay close attention to what God has said and commands us in his word. Our lives go through stages like Moses did. Stages we thought we probably would never reach, never experience. But God's word is constant and unfailing. Our deliverance is certain, guaranteed by the blood of the Lamb. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. We now think of Jesus. So here's the time check, followed by the most life-changing events of history. When he began his ministry, Luke tells us, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age. Jesus, the one who said, "The words that I say unto you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does the works, the greater than Moses." The one who perfectly obeyed his father's commands. We remember him And just as Moses left Pharaoh's palace to bear the reproach of Christ, as Hebrews 11 told us, so we now think on him, who, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come.